Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rat Bastard. And at the other end of the series of tubes and wires that we call the internets is Joe, Crazy Writer. How you doing today, Joe?
Wait a minute. Didn't we just do a podcast? We just recorded one yesterday.
That was a fill-in.
Which will be used on the 31st.
You're out on whatever you're doing.
Yeah, because we're heading up north next week, so I won't be here to podcast. So then this podcast is our normal podcast, which means the yesterday podcast for 2 weeks from now would be a regular podcast, which means now this podcast, I have to pretend we didn't do last podcast, which will be 2 weeks from now, the next podcast. So, I think I need a drink. Oh,
and what are you drinking?
Just water.
Oh, I know. Now, you see, when I do the AEW post-show party, Anthony.
AEW.
When I say, I don't say, how you doing tonight, Anthony? I say, what are you drinking tonight? Because he always has a different kind of beer he is drinking. So you're kind of falling down on the job. You need to become a booze hound, Joe.
Talking about, I'm sitting in this nice comfy chair my wife got for her work. So there's no way I'm going to fall down.
You can drink and not get so drunk and fall down.
Never have.
Oh, wait, that's you.
No, that's you. Me. I usually get to a point where I get so buzzed, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling good. And then I might top it off with a fireball, and then I really feel good.
I don't even get to do that because I usually have to work either later that day or the next morning.
Yeah. Well, and I don't like, usually it's not, I drink alone. I just, like when I'm out socially, but then I also have to be careful because if I'm not the one driving, if I'm not the one driving home, yeah, just ask Butch about me getting drunk. If I am driving home, then I don't drink. So
same here. Of course, I don't go anywhere. So
yeah. So.
I got an email from the place I bought my car from, and they were like, "Hey, we'll buy your car back and get you a brand new 2022 Kia Rio." And it'll only be $14 a month more. And all I could think was, I haven't driven my car 35,000 miles yet because of the pandemic. I'm not trading it in yet.
And besides that $14, you could buy at least, what, two comics, three comics?
Well, and not only that, it's only $14 extra a month. Yeah, and 4 years of car payments. No.
Yeah. And the thing is, compared to the last few months of previews catalog, you might need it this particular month.
Yeah, this is a big one. Joe, before we even start with the comics, can you turn to page 11?
Page 11. Wait a minute. Let me make sure I got it right side up because I know the one side. Ah, see, I had it up. Wait, no, that's the toy side. Page 11. Page 11. Hey.
They have a little short interview with Don McGregor where he talks about the comics he is working on. He announces that he is back on Zorro. Cool. He did Zorro for Topps in the 90s, and now he is doing Zorro for American Mythology. And that they are putting together a Ragamuffins graphic novel with 20 pages of never-before-seen Gene Colan art. Ragamuffins was a series that he and Gene Colan did about being a kid in the 50s that ran in Eclipse Monthly. They then reprinted the stories that were in Eclipse Monthly in a comic back in the 80s, but they found 20 more pages never before published for it was going to be in Eclipse Monthly when that magazine folded. So we're going to get some brand new Don McGregor, Gene Colan stuff within the next year or so. And they also have down below five trade paperbacks of Don McGregor you can pick up. Let's see. The Black Panther Epic Collection.
Oh, yeah, that you can get.
Zorro Masters, Lady Rawhide.
Yep.
Marvel Masterworks Killraven.
$150.
Although for that, wait, because they're coming out with an epic collection of Killraven.
Yeah. And also, if you want a damaged one, you could get it for $75.
Yeah.
So.
So Don McGregor, one of my favorite writers. Glad to see he got a spotlight in this month's previews. This is the previews
episode. It's interactive.
We go over books that we are going to get or things that we want to point out to you that we may already have that are being reprinted. We don't go into our regular what we buy every month podcast would be 9 hours long.
The Don McGregor would be, if you want it, they started about $65 for the Detectives Inc.
Oh, yeah, that's about right.
I haven't even looked. But yeah, so yeah, don't. No.
They will be doing a reprint of Saber, which was his first
Saber.
His first indie graphic novel, which is how I learned he wasn't at Marvel anymore, because it's like, wow, Don McGregor's not in doing anything at Marvel. And then there was that ad for Saber, but you would have to mail away, I think it was like $6, and that was when comics were 30 cents each, and there's no way my parents were going to give me $6 for a 48-page comic book.
Yep. All right.
But I have it now.
Are you ready?
I am ready.
All right, kids, grab your previews. This is number 392 for May 21. This is, not coming out till July?
Yes, these are comics that are due in July.
And as Corey and I foreshadowed after bitching bitterly the last few months that there was hardly anything that we bought, I'm back to the I don't know if I can afford to get everything this month. Which is actually kind of neat, but we're going to point out some things anyways. I'm going to start right away. Image, page 42, Mom, Mother of Madness. Emily Clark, Marguerite Bennett, artist Lila Liz. What got my attention on this, not that I'm a Game of Thrones fan, but superstar Emilia Clark is co-writing this. It's a three-issue miniseries. I guess it's an extra-length miniseries, 48 pages apiece. And it goes, the mayhem begins with Maya, under-the-weather scientist by day, over-the-top superhero by night, and badass single mom 24/7. Deadpool action, Fleabag comedy collide when Maya activates her freakish superpowers to take on a secret sect of human traffickers. Mature readers only. I guess, and they give you three pages of art to go by, because which got me, and here's what got me, is when you're looking on page 44, my superpowers are a little unorthodox. They're tied to my emotions, unladylike laughter, unsightly skin, poor posture, and they maybe might hulk out together when I'm on my period. It's fine, totally fine. We don't need to make a big deal of it. I'm like, okay, that sold me. I mention this because, and I'll mention this a little bit more because I got to go to a Comic-Con, the MCBF Comic-Con. Didn't think I'd make it, but I did. Not a full review because, oddly enough, I talked about that on our fill-in episode, which we'll be using in, don't worry about that again. What was the one? Was it Keanu Reeves did one, Berserker?
Yes.
Crazy priced. We talked about The Last Ronin. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle reunion of Eastman and Lard, crazily priced. We talked about Something is Killing the Children, crazily priced. I mean, there's something going on in the back issue market right now. And I mean, we can analyze everything, like the whole thing with the Last Ronin was it got a lot of press after the print was set and sold out. This one may be the same way because of the Game of Thrones tie-in. If they give it any publicity and it gets caught up in a slow news cycle or they get some decent publicists pushing it, this may be one of those that will catch everybody's attention. So based on that, I mean, I'm buying it because the premise was interesting and the art looked good. And it's only three-issue miniseries, so who knows? We may be talking in a couple of months. I told you, $100 back is you heard it here first. You guys should be listening to us And we still don't have a Wikipedia page.
No, Corey, we don't.
What's your first Image book?
Actually, it's five.
Five?
Starting on page 50.
Well, I was going to say, I've got other Image book, but I thought we'd do the round robin thing until we run out.
Well, starting on page 50, we have five issues of Skybound X.
Oh,
which is
wow.
A anthology book put together by Robert Kirkman for his Skybound publishing imprint at Image, including a Walking Dead story, Rick Grimes 2000, which is based off the Rick Grimes, if you remember, I think it was issue 150, where he had sold the story to Image, stating that they're going to find out later that the zombies were created by aliens. And then as the series sold well, Eric Larson went to him and said, well, when do the aliens show up? And he said, yeah, they're not going to show up. I just told you that. So he published the book. But he's got the story where the aliens are behind it.
Ah, and never that's waste anything. This.
It's a weekly anthology series. I don't know if it's just five issues or if it's going longer because it doesn't say. But we've got a new Walking Dead story, Rick Grimes 2000. New characters, Ultra Mega and Manifest Destiny. And let's see, we've got the debut of a Stillwater character. The Birthright saga is getting a special conclusion in this. There will be tie-ins. There's Science Dog. Joe, you're reading Invincible, so you know about Science Dog.
Yep.
Lots of stuff in this. Basically, it's five issues where they're going to have all sorts of cool Skybound stuff. I don't know if this is ongoing or if it's just a five-week stunt or what, but I'm picking it up because I love me some anthology books, and this looks really fun.
I didn't get that far yet because the next book I chose was the next one up on page 46. Mirka Andolf's Sweet Paprika, number one.
Paprika.
Paprika. Paprika? Paprika. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no X-ray.
It's paprika because that's the spice.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because that's how I always said it. Paprika. Of course, you know, Italian grandmothers, they always throw an extra A in whenever they could. Paprika is a successful businesswoman, a New Yorker of Italian origin, job and career consumer, forcing her to neglect her personal needs as well as her friends and family. Her heart is broken from a previous relationship and its consequences. Rigid upbringing has made her a very introverted person. She wants a romantic relationship, but she doesn't know what she's doing. Not like Dill, a naive and suave delivery boy with an angelic attitude, handsome, always surrounded by beautiful women falling for him. He doesn't have a worry in the world. And this makes Paprika very nervous. But he's the guy who could help her with her feelings and, you know, with like sex. They always like to drop some TV shows. Bridget Jones' Diary meets Sex in the City with a pinch of Devil Wears Prada. So, and they are doing something that you don't normally see Image do a lot of, but they have a ton of variant covers as well as some incentive covers. So you can go chase down the one you're interested in. I'll probably go with cover C, Peach Momoko. Momoko? I don't know how to pronounce this stuff. There's a lot of good ones there. That may be the art gem. But again, three pages of art. The premise sold me. I don't know if this is an season premiere. So this looks to be an ongoing. So we'll revisit it in the future once it ships. And then by that time, we'll know, since I'm obviously buying it, I'm interested. But by then, we'll have to revisit it if it was worth a buy. But what I do like is Image does spend a little space and give us some art so I can at least judge it that way. What's next on your list of stuff?
Joe, go to page 71.
Oh, I got that on my list, too.
We have a book here that has been out of print for a while, and actually for the longest time didn't even have an ending. But they did a trade paperback that ended everything. It went out of print, and it's back in print, and that is Scud, the Disposable Assassin, the whole shebang. It is by Rob Schraub, who went on to do movies and TV, such as Monster House, Community, Rick and Morty, and on and on and on. And Dan Harmon, who, if you know those shows, you know that too. This is where they got their start. Joe, you were a huge fan of Scud when it first started coming out. So why don't you explain the premise?
Scud is a disposable assassin. If you want somebody disposed of, you go put some money in a vending machine. You say this is the target. And then what's supposed to happen is when Scud finishes the job, he'll self-destruct. However, our hero, who's right on the cover, they're bursting out, discovers that that it says on his back, you know, that he will self-destruct. So he basically takes his target, puts him in the hospital, and pays in order to keep him alive so he won't self-destruct. Well, that costs money, so he goes about and takes other jobs and becomes a freelance assassin. I do not remember how this ends. I know I've got the paperback somewhere. All I know is I enjoyed the living bejesus out of it. And if you've never read it before, you can go, sure, go try to find the 24 issues out there. But like Corey said, the ending was only in the trade paperback. So don't even bother. Plus, you get the one-shot Drywall Unzipped. All you need to say is Rick and Morty. And you already know you could buy this for your friends who like Rick and Morty and tell them, hey, not only does Justin Roiland say this is an incredible comic, but the other co-creator wrote it. And it was his art. So.
And the other thing about it is this was the book that basically Rob Schrab and Dan Harmon got pulled out to Hollywood to turn this into an animated movie. And it didn't work out. But because the stuff was so good, they kept getting picked up for more and more different projects. And that's why eventually they were like, yeah, we need to finish this because we promised we would. But boy, are we making a lot of money on writing and creating a network TV show. Yeah. So it's hard to fit it in between all that.
Now, do you remember why they didn't come as guests to the MCBA, even though they lived in Milwaukee?
I do not. I don't know if I was a part of the guest, bringing in guests at that point.
They wanted a limousine.
Oh. Yeah.
And this was back before. Now they'd probably get it because back then, I think they were part of a rock band or something. And I don't know if they were coming to town to play I'd have to talk to one of the Brian to figure out. But all I know is they were like, well, you're in Milwaukee. Come on in. We'll have a good time. And they're like, yeah, but we want a limousine to bring us there or when they got here or whatever. And that was like, no, we're not a for-profit venture. We really can't afford that. So it kind of killed the one chance we had to have them there. So just a little sidebar.
And then let's see the retailer special is all of the books that Image is doing about gods, such as American Jesus, Battle Pope, Godland. If you've not read Godland, Godland is goddamn amazing. what if Jack Kirby was doing comics now? It's drawn by Tom Scioli, who is a huge Kirby fan. He did the Kirby biography comic a little while back. Just crazy, inventive, cool ideas thrown at you faster than you can absorb them. Oh, I love that book so much. Ah.
Okay, well, Corey's drooling. That's it for me for Image. I mean, I got a lot of other things, but it's all things that I've ordered or we've talked about before. Anything else new and amazing?
I'm not going to be getting it because it's too expensive for what it is, but the art of AMC's Walking Dead universe is pretty cool because it's all the behind-the-scenes artwork that has been done for the TV series The Walking Dead. If you're a Walking Dead fan, it's a nice coffee table book of all the art. There are a couple of Image series that are kind of starting a new story arc. So they have them listed as ongoing, as jumping on points. But other than that, nothing new.
All right. Next up, Dark Horse Comics.
Darcy Horsey.
Why not? I'm just having lots of S's. I'm not buying it, but point out to your friends who are Masters of the Universe fans. On page 94, Masters of the Universe Revelation, four-issue miniseries, written by Kevin Smith. This is a prequel to the upcoming Netflix television show that Kevin Smith is executive producer. And let's see, episode writer Tom Sheridan is in there. It looks like the whole team's doing it. And again, this is a prequel, so it's want to do nowadays. It will tie right into it. I imagine there'll be a trade. But if you got a fan of Masters of the Universe, you definitely want to point this one out. This one has that same potential where people might find out about it after the fact, and it might be tough to get. Two covers, so you can choose the one you want. So, and again, the Masters of the Universe, I will probably be checking in, so we may be talking about that show in a future episode.
If you go to page 118, I'm sorry, 110.
Wait, what? Where?
Gru meets Tarzan. The first Gru story in a while, the first Tarzan comic in a while. And they meet, and if it's anything like Gru meets, if it's anything like Gru meets Conan, it's going to be a lot of fun. Just like with Gru meets Tarzan, Gru is drawn by us. Sergio Aragonés. Tarzan is drawn by one of the regular Tarzan artists, Thomas Yates, and it's all written by Mark Evanier. I like me some Gru. Joe, do you have anything else jumping out at you?
If you try to find a Gru meets Conan now, they're really expensive. So, yeah, it's just one of those things that get on the ground floor, because after that, there may not be a floor for you. Let's see. I have that on my list, too. But since Corey did it, let's go back up. I'm going to point out something. I'm not buying it again. Why? Because I have the actual trades behind me. But if you didn't pick it up the first time, the Complete American Gods hardcover, which has the entire kit and caboodle adapted by comics legend Craig Russell. Really, really cool. I loved American Gods, the book. I haven't seen the show. I loved the graphic novel. I loved it so much that I read volumes 1 and 3, and I didn't even notice I'd never opened up issue 2. So, but if you're like me and you have it, just go to the previous page. There's something new. Chivalry hardcover by Neil Gaiman and Colleen Doran. A delightfully humorous and sweet fantasy story brought to you from the Eisner Award-winning team that did Snow Glass Apples, which is something you should have picked up already by now. An elderly British widow buys what turns out to be the Holy Grail from a secondhand shop, setting her off on an epic visit from an ancient knight who lures her with ancient relics in hope of winning the cup. So, yeah. That's definitely, actually, they list both the other ones that Neil Gaiman and Colleen Doran did. And I recommend not only should you pre-order Chivalry, but Snow Glass Apples was great, as well as Trollbridge. So if those of you that don't get enough Neil Gaiman in your life, come get some.
Or people who don't get enough Colleen Doran in their life.
Oh, yes. I see her. I'm not on her Patreon yet, but I do see her on Facebook every so often, and that's kind of fun.
Joe, go to page 117.
117!
EC Archive Shock Suspense Stories Volume 1 Trade Paperback has an introduction by Steven Spielberg, whoever that is. This is the first 5 issues of Shock Suspense Stories. If you have listened to me blather on and 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 on about EC Comics, and we're like, well, I'd like to get a sampler. Shock Suspense Stories was sort of their sampler book. It would have a horror story, a crime story, a science fiction story, and then a what they would call a preachy, which would be a story with a strong moral at the end. some of the best art you will ever see in your life, such as Jack Kamen, Jack Davis, Joe Orlando, Graham Ingalls, Wally Wood. This is the good stuff, kids, and it's a trade paperback, so it's $20 cover price. And if you go to, you know, you go to the web, the internets, and look around, you could get it for, you know, less than $12. You buy it. Highest recommendation possible. These are stories that are 70 years old and are still as fresh and interesting as they were back then, because the art is so goddamn good. I mean, look at that Wally Wood cover, Joe. Can you imagine someone spending... Yeah. Can you imagine a comic with that cover? Even today, people would be blown away by that. Let's see. We got another Empowered Omnibus, Volume 3.
Yep. And I pick it up as it comes out, so...
Yeah, this is Empowered Volume 7, 8, and 9.
Back on page 112, Savage Hearts, 5-issue miniseries, Aubrey Sitterson, Jed Doherty. She's a brawny barbarian bruiser with a broken heart. He's a lonely businessman who talks to dinosaurs. What happens when they team up against an evil sorcerer? Action, comedy, and romance in this all-new jungle fantasy rom-com. So, maybe I got a soft heart to match my soft head, but I'll give that one a shot. That sounds pretty fun.
On page 119, we get another omnibus with a book that has never been published by Dark Horse. What? Dan Brereton, who was one of the guys in the early 90s who did painted art, did a creator-owned series back at DC called The Nocturnals. It bounced around publisher to publisher to publisher, and now it is all being collected in one big book. It's a hardcover. It has, let's see, Nocturnals volumes, Black Planet, Witching Hour, Carnival of Beasts, and Trollbridge. So it's pretty much all of the Nocturnal stuff he did for little independent comics companies through the 90s. This is a fantastic book, and Brereton is one of those guys. He loves classic horror. The Nocturnals revolves around the mysterious quest of underworld enforcer and occult figure Doc Horror and his supernaturally gifted daughter, Evening, a.k.a. Halloween Girl, who carries a pumpkin full of haunted toys, the Gun Witch, a silent two-gun revenant with an itch to kill monsters, and the Lissom Waste Polychrome, and a host of hard-boiled, inhuman players who battling hidden evils lurking in the outskirts of human knowledge. This was just a fun monster hunting book by a guy who liked old monster movies. And the art's fantastic. So, Corey Bob says, check it out.
For me, on page 113, Fear Case, trade paperback. This is a 4-issue miniseries I passed on, but I'm going to pick up as a trade. A no-nonsense Secret Service agent and his new age partner investigates a mysterious box known as the Fear Case. It appears throughout history at sites of disaster and tragedy. Whoever comes into possession of this case must pass it on within 3 days or face deadly consequences. The agents must track down this Fear Case while staying one step ahead of the psychotic cult and the otherworldly forces behind the case's existence. So that intrigues me, and I'm going to pick that bad boy up. That's it on my Dark Horse list. Anything else for you, Corey?
Nope, that's it for me as well. Next up, all right. IDW.
Well, wait, we got to do DC.
Oh, that's right.
Alphabetical. Yeah, we always forget because DC is just not there.
Yeah, they're not in previews anymore. Nope. We have heard, however, that starting in July, DC Connect, which is currently only available online, will be printed. So that means Joe will finally start buying some DC comics.
Well, and you know what's weird is I'm actually, I went through via Discount Comic Book Service because they list everything. And I find myself, I got about 5 things I'm adding to my DC list. So just like I was a few months ago where I said, good going, DC, let's keep it going. And then they kind of AT&T'd themselves. But the first one I've got, and again, I'm going alphabetically off website, Batman Catwoman Special. Tom King writes it. John Paul Leon I have three, some variant covers. I'm going to pick me up the one that Bill Sienkiewicz is doing. Some of the great romances are destined to be. The Batwoman, Catwoman series shows readers the romance between Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle as it changed over their lives. What about their connections from before they became costume adventurers? So one-shot issue. I'll give it a shot. Sounds pretty good. What you got on your first one?
We got a few here. We got a Superman number one. And before you go, what? Let's see. Jonathan Kent is taking over as Superman. We don't know how. We don't know. How long. We just know that he's going to be taking over as Superman, where Superman will be moving over to a series called Superman and the Authority by Grant Morrison.
Yeah. And, I've got that down too, the Superman and the Authority, because I'm real curious to see what Grant Morrison's going to do. That's just a case where, because of the name, I'm going to pick it up.
Yep. And Kal-El will be continuing in Action Comics. So big things going on there. Also, with Milestone returning, we get a new Static series and a new Icon and Rocket series. Coming out of the Milestone Returns one-shot that was available online, and then they printed. I'm a huge Milestone fan. I have all their stuff. Used to write letters into Milestone, I don't want to say frequently, but more often than not. So I'm excited that they're coming back. They've got some new creators, some of the original creators. Static is going to be drawn by Chris Cross, who drew the original series. Icon and Rocket is by Reginald Hudlund and Doug Braithwaite, who has been doing some really good work. We get some examples of the art in process because they're still getting the books done, I guess. But I'm excited about those. They're both called Season 1, so they're probably going to be miniseries. Yep, 6-issue miniseries. If they sell well, they'll do another one. But I'm going to buy them as comics because I want them to sell well enough to continue. Joe?
Jeez, how many books did you list? Is there anything left on your list?
There were 4 books. There are a lot more.
Okay. Well, I don't know because you flipped through quite a bit. But I'm still back in the letter B. Blue and Gold, number one. It's an 8-issue series from writer Dan Jurgens and artist Ryan Sock. I'm sorry, Sook. See, that's why I don't like digital. All these little tiny letters, I couldn't quite make it out. Desperate to regain the spotlight, Booster Gold looks to attract the public's and the Justice League's attention the same way any washed-up second-rate superhero would. Social media. Let's see. Enlists the help of his best friend, Blue Beetle, who possesses both money and brains to help an old pal navigate the scary world of internet influencers. Watch out, evildoers. Our heroes are live and online. So I'm friends with Dan Jurgens. I like to support the local guys, so I'm definitely going to pick this bad boy up. And I imagine there's an upcoming trade as well. As I fast forward through the alphabets, Corey, what you got next for your TC fun?
Let's see. I'm still buzzing through because I'm looking at DC Connect. Batman Reptilian, which I mentioned last month, I'm going to be still buying because it's Garth Ennis and Liam Sharp. Garth Ennis is doing a Batman comic. Mm-hmm. Garth Ennis has never done a Batman comic. Okay? He hates superheroes except for Superman. If you read Garth Ennis's stuff, pretty much every superhero gets treated like crap except Superman. And even Batman, he treated like crap because what did Hitman do when he met Batman?
Barfed on him.
Barfed on his shoes.
Yeah. I am going to recommend the Starman Compendium, Volume 1.
Oh, you're already in the trades.
Remember, I'm going alphabetical. And it just so happened... since you jumped to Superman, I'm not there yet because ST is before SU. And, of course, Starman was the original series, came back. When was that published? 90s?
Yeah, it was a 90s book. It started with Zero Hour, I believe.
Yeah, James Robinson, kind of a good take. And what was cool about it is James did a wonderful job through his 50-plus issues of going through all of Starman's history, including the other people who used the word Starman.
Including the one that only had one appearance in DC, what was it called? DC First?
Yeah.
First issue special.
So Jack Knight basically is forced into a role he spent his whole entire life denying. Jack will have to pick up Starman's cosmic rod. I don't know how confusing this will be to you that I only read with New 52, but I enjoyed this series. I've been trying to pick it up, but as this stuff goes out of print, it gets wildly expensive. So I figured as long as they're going to do Compendium 1, this isn't the whole series as far as I know.
It's going to be a couple compendiums.
At least two, yeah. I think, when I looked it up. So this is a start, and if you've never read it, this is a great way to do it. As I flip forward, Corey, what do you got next?
I am going to recommend, just because I think it, I'm going to recommend the new issue of Mad. Mad has become a reprint-only book. The theme of this issue is sports. So they go through and dig up a bunch of older stuff. Mad has become something that I really enjoy because it's all the older stuff that you remember. It's the stuff from the 60s and 70s and into the 80s. They have a little of the 90s and a little of the more current stuff, but they really focus on the classic artists, Dave Berg, Mort Drucker, Sergio Aragonés, Al Jaffe. They really focus on the classics. It's not sold on newsstands anymore, so you can only get it through comic shops or subscription, which I think is really weird because it doesn't sell real well in comic shops. But a lot of what I've heard is that they're doing it for two reasons. One is to, you know, copyright protection, which is silly because Mad is trademarked, but also to fill out subscriptions because people are still subscribing and you can subscribe for up to 3 years. So they're, you know, using this to kind of fill out subscriptions. Odd. Joe, what you got next?
Actually, this is probably it because the other things you mentioned already, the Superman books, but they're doing a Superman and Lois Lane 25th Wedding Anniversary Deluxe Edition hardcover, which I still have the original. The one to look for if you're ever eBaying is the Superman Gold cover, because that was only given out to retailers if you happen to be a friend of DC. A whole bunch of them surfaced a number of years ago, and they all disappeared almost as quick. But this would be a good way to jump in, not only to get the issue itself, but also to get the things that led up to it. So if you've never dug through the back issue and dug up the wedding album, this would be a good way to jump in. It's also a little expensive, regular price, but
it's got Kurt Swan's last Superman story, which was really some pages he had done that they didn't use, and they repurposed them because I believe this was published after he passed away.
Yeah. So that's it, DC, for me. What else you got on your list, Corey?
I am not buying the Absolute Fourth World Volume 2. I'm not buying the Absolute Fourth World Volume 2. Not buying the Absolute Fourth World Volume 2. I already have all. I have the original comics. I have the hardcover. I have the trade paperbacks, which were in black and white. And I have the omnibus. I don't need it. I don't need it. Joe, I don't need to buy it again, do I?
Yes, you do.
Damn it. Batman Brave and the Bold.
Did you buy number one?
Oh, I was able to restrain myself.
And just wait and buy them when they come out on eBay.
Yeah. Batman Brave and the Bold, the Bronze Age Omnibus Volume 3. I've ordered this before, but they canceled it because, oh, Bronze Age Omnibuses don't sell.
I never last.
But there was enough demand that they are going to publish it. This is the last of the Brave and the Bold, which were Batman team-ups. From, let's see here, Brave and the Bold 157 to 200. The Batman Brave and the Bold team ups, by this point, they had gotten rid of Bob Haney's a very weird guy at DC. You know, he was an editor who did not give a shit about continuity. And when he would do Batman Brave and the Bold, he didn't care. He had Batman team up with Sergeant Rock in World War II. didn't explain any of it. He would have characters from other universes pop up and you know, not explain any of it. Batman would be out of character. The other people would be out of character. He was the guy who was in charge of Wonder Woman when we had Wonder Woman, Wonder Girl, and Wonder Tot. Wonder Tot was Wonder Woman when she was a child. Wonder Girl was Wonder Woman when she was like, a tween, and Wonder Woman. And then he would have them all team up. And it was so confusing that when they started the Teen Titans, they said, oh, we'll put Wonder Girl in it. Until they started getting letters saying, you do know that Wonder Girl is Wonder Woman as a 14-year-old, right? Because nobody at DC knew what the hell Bob Haney was doing. This is after he left, so the stories do kind of make a lot more sense. You've got some Alan Brennerit stories. Anytime Alan Brennerit's going to write a comic, you need to read it. He was a guy who did some great DC stuff, but he's mostly known for working on TV shows because they paid more, like L.A. Law, Hill Street Blues. What other ones? What was the one with that had the nudity on ABC? NYPD Blue.
Yeah. Dennis France Butt.
So he made a lot more money doing that.
Yep.
But showing he would come back and do DC books that were fantastic.
Yep.
What else was there? I am also picking up the Starman. The Starman book, Deathstroke by Christopher Priest Omnibus. Christopher Priest did a 50-issue run on Deathstroke. And it's when Slade Wilson is confronted by his own troubled past. He'll be challenged to reinvent himself before he loses everything and everyone in his life. Can he be redeemed? And if he can, how long will he be able to keep up his hero status? This is a huge book. This is 1,392 pages. All by Christopher Priest. And this is one of those books I didn't get in on the ground floor because it was part of the, yet another stupid reboot at DC. But by issue 10 or 12, it was starting to get good reviews. And I said, I'll pick up the trades. And then when Priest said that he was going to end the story with issue 50. Okay, I'll wait and I'll buy the omnibus. So that's why I'm buying the omnibus of that. Bill Willingham Fable, Compendium 3. Bill Willingham did a series called Fables, which was ripped off by Disney for Once Upon a Time, except they Disney-fied it up. Fables is not very Disney-fied. It was a Vertigo book. It's not clean. It's not for kids. It's a city where all the fairy tale characters live. And he goes back to their original versions in the Grimm fairy tales from the original German. This is a 150-issue series. They're putting it out in four compendiums. This is issues 83 to 113, the original graphic novel Werewolves of the Heartland, and the Great Fables crossover, which has from where it went into Jack of Hearts and the Literals. The Jack Kirby Fourth World Omnibus, this time printed correctly, is available again. So... another omnibus is Justice League Dark, the new 52 omnibus, which was mostly written by J.M.D. Matias, but there's also stories by Ray Lemire and Peter Milligan. Let's see, this is another big old monster of a book, 1,648 pages. I believe they have said this may be the largest omnibus ever printed. It is Justice League Dark 0 through 40, Justice League Dark Annual 1 and 2, Justice League Dark Futures End number 1, Constantine 5, 9 through 12, iVampire 7 and 8, Justice League 22 and 23, Justice League of America 6 and 7, and all of the tie-ins through the Trinity of Sin story, which had stuff from Pandora, Trinity of Sin, Phantom Stranger. It's a big old... big old doorstop of a book. And I am wavering on Superboy and the Legion of Heroes tabloid edition, which reprints the original tabloid size Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, which was the marriage of Saturn Girl and Lightning Lad, drawn by Mike Grell. and it's going to be printed at the original size. My only thing is, it's $40 for 80 pages. That's just crazy talk.
Crazy.
And I think that is it. Yes, that's it.
Okay.
The rest is all soundtracks and T-shirts. I can't believe they're selling soundtracks now.
Why not?
Anyway,
all right. Now, IDW.
Oh.
Now, you can tell it's a month because I've been looking back over my orders in the last.
Oh, yeah. But DC's killing me with those omnibuses this month.
Yeah, there's been a couple months here where I haven't bought anything from IDW. That is about to change. Because the very first thing they hit me with was on page 132, Bermuda, four-issue miniseries. Writer Bob Layman, artist Nick Bradshaw. A couple pages of the art, which looks gorgeous, even shrunk down. Basically, there's a region in the Atlantic Ocean where, yeah, we know about it, Bermuda Triangle. Planes disappear, ships are lost, traveling souls go missing, never to be heard from again. And there's an island within this place, which is where all those people end up, human or other. Bermuda lives there. She's 16, scrappy, living on this insane, wondrous island, fighting at every turn to survive. It's the only life she's ever known. She can handle dinosaurs, the pirates, the crazed soldiers, dark musicians, strange monsters. But this weird new kid who washes ashore just may be the biggest challenge she has ever faced as he drags her along on a perilous rescue mission she wants no part of, and he's likely to be the death of both of them. So the premise was interesting, but when I saw the art and even in its shrunken state, I was like, okay, I think I'll jump on this one.
I only have one book, and it's on page 150.
Hey, I bet you I was there too. Let's take a look. 150.
Winona Earp, All In. This is all of the Winona Earp IDW trade paperbacks and stories in one big book for $39.99. Winona Earp, basically this is the comic that the sci-fi series was based on. This is the ultimate jackpot for Winona Earp fans. This compendium collects every comic book adventure since the premiere of the fan favorite TV series. Join Winona Earp along with immortal gunslinger Doc Holliday in their first comic appearances, Waverly Earp. They go through all the characters. Let's see. It is Winona Earp 1-8, Winona Earp Legends 1-4. Season 0, 1-5, that's everything that happened before the TV series. And then the Bad Day at Bad Rock, original graphic novel. The TV series has wrapped up. I don't think we're ever going to get the Image stories reprinted because they really don't fit in with the TV series all that well. But it's by Bo Smith, the last real man in comics.
Probably the only real man in comics.
There were a few real men other than him.
Yeah.
He's the last, however. Although Tim Truman will beat the crap out of him at any point. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and him and Bill Tucci are always fighting.
Yes.
Back on one page, 135, Ballad for Sophie. A young journalist prompts a reclusive piano superstar to open up, resulting in this stunning graphic novel exploring a lifetime of rivalry, regret, and redemption. Filippi Milo writes it. Juan Cavaria is the artist. It just looks, I mean, they get little tiny pieces there, but it just sounds fantastic. And it's certified cool. So if you buy it, you're cool. A couple things I'm going to point out because I'm not buying them, but you might have someone that might. On page 141, Sonic the Hedgehog 30th Anniversary Deluxe Edition. For $20, you get 112 pages of fan favorite writer Ian Flynn, along with some New York best-selling Time authors. If you're a Sonic Hedgehog fan or you know someone that likes it, you should pick it up. And then bump forward to page 142, another thing that I'm not picking up, but if you have a Star Wars fan in your family, this might be something, because this ain't coming out till October. So some of the stuff you might be thinking forward for, like, birthday slash Christmas type gifts. But here's a Star Wars episode, what do they call it, 4 through whatever. It's everything from our original Star Wars forward in graphic novel form. And this is your chance to get it all in one neat old box set. I think your fan, your friends will love you. Your family will worship you if you actually pull this out as a gift from under the tree. I'm not big on novel adaptations, graphic novel adaptations, but I think this is kind of a cool little box set type of gift you could get for somebody. Hopefully something you like, because it's $60. So. And that's it for IDW. They actually, they're on the board this month.
I don't buy gifts for people I don't like, Joe.
I didn't say you had to buy it for people you don't like.
Well, you said you could buy it for someone you like, and then you mentioned someone you don't like. I'm not buying gifts for people I don't like.
Sure you do.
Like who?
I don't know who you don't like. It's hard to say. You never leave your house.
I don't like anybody.
Well, then let's just go on to Marvel.
Okay.
Marvelous.
All boy, right. That Moonlight cover's awful pretty.
Oh, I think I'm going to go with that one. And that's actually not the first thing I'm looking to pick up. Because as we go through it, on page 4, they have the Sinister War. Nick Spencer's writing it. Mark Bagley is doing the art. Looks like Dr. Octopus is putting together a new Sinister Six, where the Vulture has his own Savage Six. And, of course, there's going to be all-out war between the two. The only person they hate more than each other is, of course,
the Amazing Spider-Man.
Yes. So this is going to be a 4-issue series. Amazing Spider-Man 70 is a prelude. The 71 is a continuation. So I don't know if this is going to be like a tie-in through the other issues, but I definitely, for Mark Bagley and Nick Spencer writing it, and again, this ain't no knock on what Pat Gleason's been doing, but I think this would be a fun series. And it would be a fun trade, too, if you're not prone. But I'm reading Amazing Spider-Man anyway, so for me, I'll definitely pick that one up. Corey, you want to tell them about Moon Knight, or do we got to go back one?
I do want to point out, even though I'm buying it in the trades, we're getting an X-Men number one, Joe.
Now, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Is Hickman done with X-Men then, or is this?
No. Hickman is still the showrunner.
Okay.
He will be writing 2 series. We don't know what they will be. But he has said there will not be an Uncanny X-Men series as long as he is in charge of the X-Men. But this is kind of the next phase of the X-Men on Krakoa.
But the question is, the current series is going to end and then this one starts.
Right. Okay. Because this is the next phase.
All right.
Hang on. He is still in charge of things.
X-Men number one to add. Because I wasn't sure about, you know, this series ends, that one starts. Because there's a whole plethora of X-Men series. Unlike past times when we've complained about, just another X-Men series. These are actually kind of, they're all interconnected somehow. Like you said, Hickman's the showrunner, but I wasn't sure if, you know, well, he's missing this month. But I'm going to add this one just on the basis of what you said. Otherwise, I won't have any X-Men.
Yep, they have finished up the Dawn of X. This is the Reign of X.
Aha.
Then we have Moon Knight number one, and I have mixed feelings about this because first, when they had the John Romita Jr.'s coming back to Marvel, they had Moon Knight as one of the characters he drew, and they said, does this mean John Romita Jr. is going to be doing a Moon Knight series? And they said, well, just watch. No, he's just doing one of the variant covers. Yeah. The last Moon Knight series I thought was fantastic. Because it delved into how crazy he is, how he sees the world differently. I thought it was excellently done. It went from Warren Ellis to who did it next? But I absolutely loved that series because it really got into what's real, what's not. And at the end of it, I'm still not 100% sure what's real. This one seems to be more based on kind of bringing it back down to earth because there's going to be a new Moon Knight TV series on Disney Plus. But oh, that art looks pretty.
Yeah. If you pick a cover, assuming they're all the same price, which isn't a good assumption, which one would you go with?
Oh, I would go with the Steve McNiven.
I think I'm doing that too.
Yeah.
I saw the
Sienkiewicz
cover.
Although, if I had unlimited money, it would be the Hidden Gem variant by Bill Sienkiewicz because it's Bill Sienkiewicz, man.
Oh, yeah, that, and I like the John Romita Jr. cover. We will point out on page 19, Werewolf by Night, number 32, facsimile edition, first appearance of Moon Knight. Matter of fact, while we sit here, I've got the eBays already and cranked up. Let me go check to see what the price of that bad boy is right now.
Now, if you look at that cover drawn by Gil Kane, you'll see Moon Knight's in a very weird pose. That is a pose that Gil Kane used on multiple covers for quite a few years at Marvel, to the point where there was somebody online who showed like 7 different covers he used a hero in that pose for, including 2 Master of Kung Fu covers that we pointed out when we did our commentary on it, where it's basically, yeah, he just did the cover and he just flipped his art. And, yeah, it's the same pose. Gil Kane slacking.
I'm trying to, unfortunately, people are keyword spamming, so I'm not getting Werewolf by Night itself. So here's a little trick you can do on eBay. You just click the advance, and I'm going to put, I want the exact words, exact order. So I'm not getting everything else. I have one thing I have to do is I have to go in and take out magnet because there are a number of people selling fridge magnets with that cover on it. So let's flip past the facsimile edition pre-orders, the posters, the key rings. Okay, Essential Moon Knight, it's in there. Okay, we're already in the $50 range and I have yet to hit a comic. And then, of course, Moon Knight 20 apparently has a reprint with that from the 2008 series. Okay. The first Moon Knight Werewolf by Night number 32 I hit is an auction starting at a mere. Can I have a drum roll, please, Corey? $800.
Oh,
now if
cheap
you're a guy
at half the price.
If you're a guy who says F auctions, I'm going to get one for $1,407.39 with an $80 shipping charge because it's coming from the UK. Let's see. Now I'm getting into the CGC one. Believe me, there's a whole group of people. They just buy this stuff and they CGC it. I haven't found any 9.0s yet. So the bottom line, the best one I've got is a 9.4. So, hey, $3.99. Get yourself the facsimile edition. There. We've just saved you over $800 to $1,000 that you can now spend on other things,
okay,
such
can I
as.
Give you a little secret about this comic, Joe?
Yeah.
It's drawn by Don Parlin, and it's not very good.
No, but it's the first appearance, and it doesn't really for people collecting this stuff.
Yeah, but if you're picking this up because I like Moon Knight, I want to read this. I want to read about this character. Yeah, he was not fully formed at this point at all.
You could probably
it was
find...
just basically he's a mercenary we brought in to kill the werewolf.
Because, you know, werewolves and moons go together. I'm not big on symbiote Spider-Man, but Peter David, again, could write the phone book and I'd pick it up. You add Greg Land art, and on page 22, you got Symbiote Spider-Man Crossroads, another miniseries. After three sense-shattering series, the entire Symbiote Spider-Man crew is getting together. This time they're taking Spider-Man down the road less traveled to the supremely psychedelic Crossroads dimension, where, if those of you who are old farts like me and Corey, remember, that's where they dumped the Incredible Hulk right before Peter David took over his run on Incredible Hulk. Totally ignoring the John Byrne stuff. So, again, I will recommend this one just basics. I enjoyed the – I didn't pick up the first one, or did I? Maybe I didn't read it, but I did read the one during the King in Black, and I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed King in Black. What else you got next, Corey?
Joe, go to page 31.
31.
There's another Peter David book to buy.
Oh, yeah.
X-Men Legends. Peter David returns to place a missing piece of the X-Factor puzzle. Peter David, when they did the, I forget what they called it. Basically, when Jim Lee got his X-Men number one, they did a big thing where, okay, everybody's shuffling around and we're going to treat all of these books as if they're a number one. You can start here. No, you couldn't. But Peter David and Joe Quesada took over X Factor. And Peter David didn't stay on very long because of the editorial meddling, but he really made the book interesting. And after that editor was removed from the company, they gave him X Factor back. But here he is. He's going to do another X Factor story back at that time with Todd Knock, who he did Young Justice with. I really like Peter David on X-Factor, and this has been a fun book. The first story by Fabian Nyasasia and Brett Booth was really good. The second one is Louise Simonson and Walt Simonson doing a story about X-Factor, and now we're getting Peter David. I don't know where they're going to go next, but this is a fun book if you're one of those people, I don't like the new X-Men. You want to read 90s X-Men? Here you go.
Yeah. And I listened to Corey, put my money where his mouth is, and I picked up the first three that I found on the shelf. I still got to get issue four, but I'm going to start collecting this with issue five.
Issue four isn't out yet.
I know. So I still got one to pick up, and then I'll be caught up. I'm going to go back to a couple pages to page 27. I'm picking up Aliens, at least the first couple story arcs, to see how it is. But this one, I'm not big on one-shots, but this one I'm drawn towards. Aliens Aftermath number one. It's a 35th anniversary, and they're returning to Hadley's Hope. It's been 35 years since the tragedy of that colony, but what happened to that ill-fated venture has been shrouded in mystery. A renegade crew of investigative journalists are heading towards the moon that Weyland Yutani has wiped from all records. And they'll bring back the truth, even if it kills them. And what remains of that bombed out site will just try to do that. So I'm real curious to see how this, if this one shot can deliver. But I've enjoyed the Alien series so far. And much as I loathe one shots, I'm going to pick that one up.
And for me, it then goes to the paperbacks and hardcovers.
All right. I will throw one comic in there before we go. I'm going to start picking up Guardians of the Galaxy at number 16 because the last Annihilation starts here. This is going to be a summer event, a war to end all wars. They're not saying who will annihilate them all, but it looks like they got the team assembled. And although I've ignored the assembling of the team, I may go back and pick them up, but I definitely want to be on board because I enjoyed the Annihilation so much that I got the whole series. I got the omnibus behind me so I can read them whenever I want. And I'm hoping this is a rekindling of the interest in the cosmic universe that doesn't necessarily have to tie into Marvel Earth. unless it gets there. I don't know. I kind of like that when the first one ran through, because it was like Earth was in wrapped in the Civil War while they were fighting a universe ending battle out there. So we'll see. I again, maybe the famous last words, but I'm gonna put my, I'm gonna get it.
Joe, did you pick up the Captain Britain by Alan Moore and Alan Davis omnibus?
I have a hardcover of Captain Britain downstairs, but I don't know what it contains. So I'm thinking I'm just going to pick up the omnibus.
Well, if you did pick up the Captain Britain by Alan Moore and Alan Davis omnibus, the Captain Britain omnibus is expanded. It has all of that, plus all the stuff that came before and the stuff that came after up until he joined Excalibur. So the one with Alan Moore and Alan Davis was 686 pages. This one is a whopping 1,388 pages.
And I'm as we're wanting
1,368 pages. And Alan Moore's name is not on it because he does not want to be credited.
Nope.
He is the original
author. I
don't
know if they're going to cut him a check for it. Because yes. I know Quisada. Yeah, so he'll get paid. Don't worry about that. Which cover?
Well, the one by Alan Davis, of course.
Okay, that settles that.
Because Alan Davis is awesome.
Oh, of course.
And let's see, the Ron Wilson cover, that's no one remembers that costume. No one.
Oh, well, I do. Wasn't that the one from Marvel Team-Up?
No, he had already switched over by the time he got to Marvel Team-Up. Alan Moore's the one who did the story where Captain Britain died. And then he came back with the new costume.
Okay. So, yeah, that is the only book I'm getting. So this is where I sit back. And while I listen to Corey talk about the graphic novels coming out, I also wonder if he's on Marvel's payroll. Because, damn, I swear, do you have like a Marvel wing in your domain?
Boy, it sure feels like it. I'm not as bad as the Uncanny Omar. Because I get... He's near mint, and he's the one who gets all of the omnibus announcements. So he will actually put out a video, like a 10-minute video, when he gets the announcements, where it's like, all right, suit up, everybody. I just got the announcements for new omnibuses. But I looked at his other stuff, and when he goes through just the Marvel catalog, it's over 2 hours long. And that's just Marvel. So, on page 77, we've got Savage Sword of Conan, the original Marvel Years, Omnibus Volume 6. This is after Roy Thomas has left, but it does have Marvel Comics Super Special, which number 21, which I believe is the adaptation of the Conan movie. But it also has art by John Buscema, Gil Kane, Alfredo Acala, Joe Chiodo, Val Merrick. So that's why you're buying it. Barry Windsor Smith, new art by Barry Windsor Smith, Mary Wilshire, Ernie Chan, Pablo Marcus. Reprint Savage Sword of Conan 73 through 87. That's going to take a long time to get done. Spider-Man Life Story. I think Joe and I have talked about this in the past. This was a story by Chip Zdarsky, which basically the premise of it was, what if Spider-Man aged in real time? So with the first story being in 1962, they would do an issue which each decade. So the one in the 60s, Spidey's in his teens and early 20s. The one in the 70s, he's in his 20s and early 30s. In the 80s is when he marries Mary Jane. He's in his 30s, and so on and so on and so on. An excellent, excellent story. If you have not read this book and you're a Spider-Man fan, you owe it to yourself to read this book. It's not so much a what if as a imagining of Spider-Man aging in real time. Absolutely love this book a lot. Let's see what else jumped out at me. Heroes Reborn, I was not interested in any way, shape, or form until I picked up the first issue. And Joe, have you read Heroes Reborn?
I kind of ignored it.
You may want to pick it up as a trade paperback, because what it is, this is the Avengers didn't exist, so we have the Squadron Supreme instead, and Marvel is kind of like DC. With Peter Parker, the Amazing Shutterbug, he's a lot like Jimmy Olsen.
Well, I thought maybe it would just like start every few years with a new crisis.
I was amazed at how much I loved that first issue. So I wish they would be reprinting the whole thing rather than, okay, here's this miniseries and this miniseries and this miniseries.
So maybe I'll just wait for the omnibus.
But I loved the first issue of this book. If they can stick the landing, I'll be darn happy about it. Let's see. I still pick up the X-Men books because they're doing that reprint where they're putting them out as they, you know, as in the order you should read them. So they're now into Reign of X. You've got Reign of X volume 2 and 3. We get another new Doctor Strange epic collection, which is the Vampiric Verses, which is where Roy Thomas did the story bringing vampires back. Because when Jim Shooter was in charge, and no one is owning up to why it was ordered. Because anytime anybody is asked, it's, oh, I wasn't told. I didn't have anything to do. I didn't. But there was a thing where Shooter didn't like the horror characters at all. And kind of leaned on Roger Stern to, hey, get rid of Dracula and all the other vampires. And then in the 90s, it's like, yeah, we need to bring the vampires back. So Roy Thomas drew the straw to bring the vampires back. You got art by Butch Geist, Isherwood, Gene Colan, Ron Lim, Chris Marinan, Tony DeZungia, Javier Zaltarez. It's Doctor Strange Sorcerer Supreme 14 through 33. If you're following along with the omnibus is coming out, they pretty much are going to have the entire Doctor Strange Sorcerer Supreme series from the 90s in three big omnibuses by the time the year is up. Also, if you are a Conan fan but say, oh man, those omnibuses are just too much, the Epic Collection, the original Marvel Years, Conan the Barbarian, Curse of the Golden Skull, that is starting when John Buscema takes over. It's Conan 27 through 42 with the first annual. Those are highly, highly recommended. And then at the very end, we've got Mighty Marvel Masterworks, the X-Men Volume 1, Strangest Superheroes of All, covered by Michael Cho. This is the first 10 issues of the original X-Men in that smaller size, as well as a Ms. Marvel and Unbeatable Squirrel Girl in those smaller sizes. Those are mostly packaged for the Scholastic Books market. And if you went to school and remember the Scholastic Book Fairs, it was one of the times where you're like, I need more money! Because they just had so many cool books, and Marvel getting their foot in that door is one of the smartest things they've done. Because, Joe, what's the biggest selling book series of the last 20 years?
I don't know.
Harry Potter.
Captain Underpass. Oh, Harry Potter. Yes, Harry Potter.
And who publishes Harry Potter?
Harry Potter does.
Scholastic Books.
I thought Time Warner did.
Yeah, Scholastic Books.
Oh, okay.
So that's it for Marvel. Not as much as you would think, but still a budget buster.
Yeah.
That Captain Britain omnibus. I'm actually kind of glad that I didn't get the original Captain Britain omnibus, because that was one that was on my hunting list. People who look for books like that, they call them whales, the white whales, because you know we all know about Moby Dick, and it's that's my white whale. That's the book that I'm chasing. I'm glad I never caught it, because I'd much rather have this much bigger book that's only $25 more. Yeah.
No, I while you were talking, I ran down and got my two Captain Britons, and I'll probably put these on eBay's and in anticipation of the omnibus coming. Unlike you, I don't need it in 200 different formats.
Yeah. I need the only book I have in a bunch of different formats is The New Gods, because you know I do like having it in the hardcovers. I love the omnibus. The comics, you know, you got to have the comics. And then the trade paperbacks, I actually picked those up. Those are great for if you don't care if the book's going to be, you know, bounced around in your car and shoved in a shoved in a backpack or whatever. Those could get beat up because they were just $12, and I've already got the stories in other places.
All right. Are you ready for Dynamite?
Yes. Dynamite!
All right. Are you getting anything from Dynamite?
I don't believe so, although...
Because I have four things.
I am tempted by Red Sonja, Black, White, and Red.
Yeah, that's the first thing I was going to recommend, because that has some of the best writers, artists, writing Wonder Woman, Red Sonja stories. They're doing the whole Black, White, Red like Marvel DC's done, because apparently they don't own it. So, yeah, I mean, Kurt Busiek, Mark Russell, Amanda, how you say it? Diebert? And tons of variant covers to choose from. You just wander over to page 156, read it, and see if it's enough to get you interested in picking up the series. Or, you know, Dynamite is also very, very good at doing trade paperbacks. So,
and 42,000 variant covers.
Yeah. Let's see. On page 160, if you're a Barbarella fan, Barbarella's back. On page 164.
Joe. What? There are no Barbarella fans.
Yes, there are, because look at all the variants and the fact she's coming back. On page 164, yes, the lovers are together. Deja Thoris, John Carter, Warlords of Mars, in a new number one. And, of course, they're going to fight. Lots of variant covers will ensue. The other thing I'm going to point out, once a year, Joseph Michael Linsner does a Dawn sketchbook, the 2020 is available on page 176, and as a bonus, every copy is signed by Linsner himself. Some of those early ones are very, very pricey. Usually they're available at the San Diego Comic-Con, but obviously since it's not didn't happen last year, here's your chance to pick one up. So below it is his Dawn Vampirella hardcover being reoffered. I read the series. It's good. I mean, it's Joseph's not the craziest writer, but you can't deny his heart. So
his art is good. His stories make no sense at all.
Well, this one was pretty good. There was a couple scenes where I remember, because Vampirella was getting a little huffy with Dawn, and Dawn had to gently remind her that, hey, I am a god. Don't be messing with I mean, anyways, the one series I am buying, of course, is the Invincible Red Sonja, which I haven't read yet. I just got number one. But I always get the Frank Cho Outrage cover because, hey, I could use a little outrage. So that's it for Dynamite. Let's see. Flipping forward. Who's next?
Boom. I actually have a book in Boom, Joe.
So do I. Let's see if it's the same one.
Page 200.
Nope. You go first.
Mouse Guard is back after seeming like forever. It's been gone because David Peterson was working on a series with Disney that finally fell apart. So it's like, hey, I guess I'll go back and do a comic book.
Yeah, I should say this is
it's
actually
been so long that I don't know if anyone remembers it. And I hope that they get the previous books back in print, because it's been forever since they've been in print, because he's off doing Hollywood and making money for not doing anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's an 8x8 size, so it's a different format.
It's the same format as the other Mouse Guard
books.
Yeah,
but remember, nobody remembers it. But look at the artwork preview. Get that magnifying glass out and check it out. Beautiful art, fun stories. I got to check. I'm pretty sure by now I don't even have any of those collections. So, boom. Let's get on the ball here.
The other thing is, when Mouse Guard came out, it was so successful that I remember there were like three or four series that kind of ripped off the idea of the world of mice as medieval fantasy. And none of them did it as well as Mouse Guard, because Mouse Guard had that beautiful David Peterson art. And they've all fallen by the wayside, but he's back. I hope they get them all in print, because I'd like actually a nice big thick book that reprints all the stuff leading up to now.
Go back to page 196. They got a miniseries I'm going to check out. Memo. Can Orla O'Reilly embrace her destiny in order to bridge the divide between humanity and the fairy world? Orla, the youngest in a long line of hedge witches, finds herself pulled back into her hometown after the death of her grandmother, Memo. Without Memo managing magical relationships between the townsfolks and the Fae, the seas are impossible to fish, crops have soured, and Joe's attic has been taken over by a poltergeist. So she's getting pulled into a world she never wanted to be part of. Let's see if they can get together, two girls, Joe and Aura. A little bit of art shown, but five-issue series kind of got my attention. The final thing I'll point out is what if you had picked it up when we mentioned it, you would have a expensive back issue and you wouldn't have to worry about it. Here's your chance to pick up the trade. Berserker Volume 1. Keanu Reeves, Matt Kind, illustrated by Ron Garney. A War with No End, A Man with No Limits. So if you weren't smart enough, I'm telling you, if you weren't smart enough to listen to us the first time, Boom has got your back. That's all I can say.
And, of course, they're always going to collect that stuff. And,
As long as people buy it. I mean, if they don't buy it, it just goes away. But I think this was a surprise hit for Boom. So, and the other one was expensive. Like I say, something's happening with the children. And, anyways. All right. And now, the rest of the catalog.
Oh, we got a bunch here.
Let's first off,
I do want to point out that this month's focus is it's Kids Comics Month, and they do have a list of trade paperbacks and hardcovers that are kid friendly, and some of them are coming back into print, which makes me happy, and I will actually point those out because they will be getting my money. So Joe, what is the first of these books in the rest of the story?
I'm trying to find here. I got the I screwed up. That's a problem when you have mild dyslexia. You tend to miss off on a lot. Page 243, Aftershock, Beyond the Breach. Aftershock's the publisher. Life sucks for Vanessa. Her mother just died. Her boyfriend's cheating on her with her own sister. To clear her mind, Vanessa's taking the California road trip she's been dreaming all these years. Her postcard-perfect drive through old-growth forests quickly turns when the breach hits. A bizarre anomaly in the sky plunges California into a nightmare world populated with strange extra-dimensional creatures. Now Vanessa, along with Dougie, an orphan child, and Kai, a strange fuzzball of a beast, must fight to survive if they ever hope to make it back home, if there's even a home to get to. A lot of different covers. There's an incentive cover that is just creepy as all hell on page 235 right there, the incentive cover by Declan Shavley. And the regular cover kind of sends shivers down my back as well. So I'm hoping the series itself will do that. And this is a new series. You know, I'm not willing to jump on a new series unless I think it's going to deliver. So I'm hoping on this one it will. What do you got for your first one, Corey?
On page 249, it's a novel from Altus Press, Wild Adventures of the Spider, Volume 2, Fury and Steel. This is written by Will Murray, who's also writing new Tarzan novels, new Doc Savage novels. His first Spider book was actually a crossover book with Agent X-9 and G-8 of the Battle Aces. This one is a Spider solo story. The Spider was a pulp character who shot first and asked questions never. And Will Murray is the preeminent writer of pulp characters. It's pretty much become his career to keep the stories of these pulp characters alive. His Doc Savage books are utterly fantastic, and the first Spider novel was a lot of fun. And the thing about a good pulp novel is, you know, they don't take time to do anything but introduce the characters, and then it's action, and then it's action, and it's action, and it's action, and it's action, and then it ends. And the stakes get raised constantly. It's like an action movie on fast forward. And Will Murray is so great at doing that. While the story doesn't collapse, it's the villain has a plan, and when the hero foils it, the villain had a plan on top of that, and then he's also able to kind of anticipate what the hero might do. But the other thing to remember is, in these pulp stories, they didn't care if they killed hundreds of people. In the first Spider novel that Will Murray did, it's like everybody who was in downtown Manhattan died in the third chapter. So you don't read this stuff for reality. You read this stuff for over the top, pure action. Is set in the 30s. I love this stuff. I wasn't around for the pulps. I did. I don't know about you, Joe, but I started reading the Doc Savage books when I hit about 12, and I was just enamored. I was just in love with it. And the Shadow books were hard to find, but I would listen to the Shadow on the old radio. You know, when you got late night in Peoria, Illinois, it's like, okay, well, we're going to be playing some old-time radio because it's out of copyright and cheap and free.
Yeah, we had that on KDWB AM Sunday night. It was always Shadow, Green Hornet, Lone Ranger, and Gunsmoke, and I never quite made it to Gunsmoke. I think Lone Ranger was first because I remember that more vividly. All right, for me, the next one's on page 270 into AWA Studios. Written by Frank Cho. Illustrated by Frank Cho. Cover by Frank Cho. This is Frank Cho. Fight Girls, number one. The Heart 10. Hard as nails women face off in an ancient contest of champions where the winner truly takes all. The title of Queen of the Galaxy. To win the challenger, each contestant must survive the hazards of a planet's harsh landscape, the ferocious predators on and below its surface, and their fellow contestants. This edition of the contest has a twist. One of the contestants is an infiltrator who has her eye on something bigger than the prize. Who is she and what does she want? You can have a cover by Frank Cho, or you can have a variant cover by Mike Deodato Jr. Choices. No idea what I'm getting, other than I know I'm picking this series up. Corey?
Page 290 from Drawn and Quarterly. They're highlighting their kids' books. So we get a new Little Lulu book.
Oh, Little Lulu.
By John Stanley. And they are relisting the John Stanley Library Nancy Volume 2. And John Stanley's Nancy was a comic I absolutely loved as a kid because it's John Stanley. His stuff was excellent. And I remember I loved the comic, but I hated the comic strip because the comic book was so much funnier, so much better drawn, so much more interesting. The characters had actual character, whereas the comic strip was just bland. And I know there are people who absolutely love the Nancy comic strip by Ernie Bushmiller and talk about how iconic the art is and basically how minimalistic he drew it. I think it was Dennis Kitchen. At the first MCBA con, I got involved in a discussion with Dennis Kitchen and Martin Greep of Cap City Comics. And they told stories about, you know, early distribution, but they also talked about their love of Nancy. And Dennis Kitchen said, the beauty of Nancy is, even if you hate it, if you looked at it, by the time you registered, oh, I hate that strip, you'd already read it. Now, the new Nancy by Olivia James is fantastic and fun, and I can't wait for the next book to come out. But these John Stanley books, it's almost like he took that template from Little Lulu and sort of transplanted it into Nancy with a little more weirdness and a little more of that kids just being kids. And it's so entertaining, and I'm a huge John Stanley fan. Buy anything I can with his stuff in it. Joe?
Page 274, Behemoth Comics. Cinnamon, number one, 3-issue miniseries. Cinnamon is just your perfectly ordinary average house cat, at least until you get a glimpse of the world through her eyes. Countertops become skyscrapers, cat toys become biker gangs, and peerless giant robots rampage on the daily, get drop-kicked into the action-packed streets of Big Kitchen City as she fights the dark forces that dare to keep her from her favorite treat, catnip. All I can say is, judging by Bubba, the rescue cat that my daughter brought into our house, this may explain some of Bubba's behavior. So I'm recommending Cinnamon Number One, about 3-issue series, so it's not that big anyways. Corey?
Let's see. I have stuff that I've dog-eared. Oh, yeah, I always get the heavy metal. I always get this. I always get that.
Heavy metal.
Oh, there's Knights at the Dinner Table. Ah, there we go. Page 318. A book that Dave Sim was working on way back in Glamour Puss. The Strange Death of Alex Raymond is finally seeing print. We thought we would never see it. What it is, Dave Sim started drawing this. He was in love with Alex Raymond's photo, realistic art style, neorealism, and was telling the story of Alex Raymond's death. But he's had hand injuries. He can't continue to draw it. So another artist started taking over, Carson Grumbaugh. And then the publishing deal that they had fell through, and they thought for sure it's never going to see print. Well, a new publisher, let's see, it is, who are they called? Living the Line, picked up the rights. They did a Kickstarter, but you can also just buy it from Diamond. It's $19.99. It has a foreword by Eddie Campbell. It's 320 pages, oversized hardcover, so the art's even better. I'm sorry, it's $39.99. I apologize. But Alex Raymond is best known for the creation of Flash Gordon, which if you've read the original, like 6-7 years of Flash Gordon, beautiful. And everybody in comics in the Golden Age swiped from Alex Raymond. Everybody. Kirby swiped from him. Will Eisner swiped from him. Everybody. Because his art was just that good. He then moved over and did, what was the second one he did? Was it Secret Agent X9? Yeah, Secret Agent X9. Didn't have the success of Flash Gordon, but was still one of those where the artists loved his work. This goes into him passing away in a car crash, which has mysterious circumstances around it. This is a book that has been in the works for at least 15 years. And it is probably the last art we will ever see from Dave Sim. If you do pick up his Cerebus in Hell series, there is no new art in that. He basically takes photostats of Cerebus and puts it into basically woodcut prints, where people did woodcut prints of stuff from Dante's Inferno to create comic strips. So this is the last Dave Sim art you will probably ever get. Joe?
Page 288. If you're a fan of Trailer Park Boys, here's your chance to get Trailer Park Boys. Get a fucking comic book, number one. Devils Do Comics and Trailer Park Boys have inked a big fancy partnership to debut the Canadian trio from Sunnyvale Trailer Park in their debut comic book series, featuring a shit ton of creators and short stories personally approved by the boys. Three different covers, including a couple photo covers. $7.99, so I'm not, but if you are a Trailer Park Boys, you definitely want to check that one out. Corey?
If you go to page 345, we get a new Judge Dredd Complete Case Files. This is number 37. What it is, this is the 37th volume of them just reprinting the Judge Dredd stories from 2080. They're nice, big, thick books. They're printed at a little larger size than 2080 does. Whenever they would reprint Judge Dredd stories here in the U.S., they had to change the art because the comics in England are wider than in the U.S. They're just as tall. They're just wider. So they would have to kind of compress the art. When Fleetwood started doing them, they did a good job on it. But then by the mid-80s, they were doing it real cheap and it looked like shit. But these are the original stories in the original format. I'm a big Judge Dredd fan. I don't follow 2000 AD all the time because it's so expensive. And then there are times where, oh, here's a story that's going to be 12 parts that I just don't care for at all. But I will pick up the Judge Dredd books because I love me some Judge Dredd. And if you've never read Judge Dredd, you should probably pick up Case Files 1 and 2 because that's got the classic stories that everybody knows. That and that has most of the Brian Bolan stuff in it. Joe?
Page 285 under Clover Press, an all-new comic book miniseries from Charles Holland, head writer and executive producer of the Black Lightning TV show, and Andrea Fusso, creator of Word, W-Y-R-D. Cassidy's Secret Number 1. When the comet lands on Earth, and it brings a child who will become Earth's most powerful hero, as well as an ultra-virus that grants powers to a select few. In a world where those with superpowers invoke fear and awe, some become celebrities, others scapegoats. Who will defend the powered few when many seek to cage or control them? Well, Cassidy Crawford, the most prominent defense attorney of this world, who leads a law firm that specializes in protecting this new minority population from overzealous laws, police, and prosecutors. $4.99, it's a miniseries, a couple different covers to choose from. Very, very, very small preview art, but it sounds interesting enough, so I'm going to give it a shot.
Corey. This month's issue of Back Issue on page 366, Bronze Age promos, ads, and gimmicks. Who was the mystery writer of those Hostess comic ads?
Oh, yeah.
Who was behind the DC Superstar Society fan club? DC's 16-page preview comics. All the way up to Marvel, when they were a publicly traded company, their quarterly report would be a comic book. So this issue covers all that. It's going to be worth it just for the Hostess ad story.
Oh, yeah.
I still am waiting for someone to do a Hostess ad parody with me and Pi.
Not going to happen.
People promised it years ago, and yep. I have not heard anything since.
You've got to leave your house to do that. Yep.
I'm never
leaving the house. Page 307, under Heavy Metal, Black Beacon number 1, a resolicitation all the way back from October 2020. There is an intergalactic space station out there bigger than our solar system, where wants everyone to come along and meet up.
Someone needs to do some, editing.
So basically, it's bigger than our solar system, and everybody wants to go there. The beacon made it sound like a utopia, but when Nico arrives, she finds it's a lawless expanse where everyone's out for themselves, and she's so late, she doesn't even have a seat at the table. It's a six-issue series, a story of survival, truth, and experience. She can't figure out who to trust, what to do before the secret of her journey catches up with her. So, miniseries, intriguing prospect, and I've enjoyed most of the Heavy Metal comics that I've picked up from them. Corey, what you got next?
I actually have some toys I'm getting.
All right. Go ahead. I've got plenty more comics, but let's hear some toys.
If you flip over your previews and just turn the first page, you'll see Final Fantasy VII Remake Plush, Cloud, Barret, Aerith, and Tifa in cute little chibi type types. I do have some Final Fantasy IX of the same figures. I'm a big Final Fantasy fan. After 10, I like the games, but the characters just aren't as appealing to me. But Final Fantasy VII was the one that I started with. The woman I was dating at the time told me that I could not, we wouldn't be compatible unless I played Final Fantasy IX and loved it as much as she did, to the point where I had to go out and buy a PlayStation. As I started playing it, about every 2 days, she would go, "Where are you in the game? What's going on? What do you think? What do you think? What do you think?" Not dating the girl anymore, but I kept my love for Final Fantasy. Joe?
Page 321. Flip the book over. Magnetic Press. Monolith. Monolith. L-R-N-Z.
Monolith. Oh, that's monorail.
Roberto Recognoni and Mario Uzio. Sandra and her two-year-old son are driving the safest car ever built, the Monolith. When they're forced to stop in the middle of the empty desert, Sandra accidentally gets locked out of the car. Now isolated from civilization, she must save her son from a car designed to be an indestructible vault on wheels. The sun is rising, heating the car's sheet metal, and time is running out. Hardcover. Anything else, Corey?
Let's see. I have one more toy.
Oh, believe it or not.
So flip over to page 51 on the toy side.
Page 51.
The Alfred E. Newman Funko Pop figure. They did one years and years and years ago, and I did not buy it because I was not into Funko Pops, and now it is worth $100 gajillion. Hundreds and thousands and hundreds of dollars.
I'll come over and cut its legs off.
But I want to pick up the this one.
Nail it to the wall.
I only have a few Funko figures, and the ones I have the dog with the coffee cup in the flames who says this is fine, Spider-Gwen, and Agent Dale Cooper from Twin Peaks, and I'll be adding some Alfred E. Newman. And that's it for me in preview. So, Joe, regale us with what else you're getting.
Sit back, because I got about half a dozen more things here. Still in Magnetic Press, page 323. 1,000 Storms by Tony Sandoval. Lisa's a lonely girl who enjoys wandering nature and collecting odd bones and pebbles. The other kids think she's kind of weird, maybe a witch, and avoid her. When one day she discovers a tree that allows passage into a parallel world, she finds herself in the middle of a demonic invasion plot, faced with saving the very children who ridiculed her. So it's kind of, apparently this is the same world as Water Snake, so previous stuff, but I think I'm going to jump on board with this one. That was page 223. Let's see, page 334, and I'll flip along with you. We're going into Oni Press, Underground. Park Ranger, this is a graphic novel. Park Ranger and avid caver Wesley Fisher is on a one-woman mission to stop Stillwater Cave from turning into a tourist trap. But public opinion is not on her side. When violent locals begin blasting in the cave, Wes and a fellow ranger investigate. The confrontation spirals into a deadly chase, forcing the two rangers to flee deep under the Kentucky mountains, first to escape the pursuers, and then try to escape the most deadliest threat, the cave itself. So this is a back in print. So it's been out for a while. So check it out. Let's see what's next. Go to page 340. Dun, dun, dun. The Fly. From Paper Cuts, one of the world's greatest cartoonists, Louis Trondheim, tells the exciting life story of a common housefly. From the fly's birth to his inevitable end, we see everything this creature goes through to simply survive. From the fly's perspective. Hey, why not? Let's see what's next. Page 346. We're just going to keep taking it right in order. No paper cuts involved here. Let's see. This one is... Oh, I just want to point this out if you've got some Harry Potter fans. It's a Harry Potter Hogwarts trunk collectible set from Running Press. Kind of a cute little thing. It includes a journal, Hogwarts-themed journal, with quotes, writing prompts, and photos. You get a wand pin, a chocolate frog, enamel pin, replica of Harry Potter's Hogwarts acceptance letter, a train ticket, just something kind of fun for a gift. Above it's a Harley Quinn talking figure and book. Above that's Ghostbusters Ghost Trap Kick with sticker book. Just fun little gifts. Order them now so you don't miss out on them. Go back a couple to page... Sorry, I'm losing track of where I was. Okay, next page, 348. I told you this was a big month. Under Scout, We Don't Kill Spiders. Basically, it's a early Viking Age, a faithless Norseman detective is summoned to a Scandinavian hamlet where a series of murders have occurred, and he's got to figure it out. 3-issue miniseries, tickles my fancy, sounds good. And let's see, what do we got next? Two more left. Page 352. Dun, dun, dun. We Are the Rejected Omnibus Trade. I've read the regular series We Are the Rejected. Seriously, seriously creepy. Follow Mr. Teeth as he brings the power and family to the weak and alone, always at great costs, and even into the bowels itself. It takes the previous collected stuff, the Rejected series, and puts it in one book. If you like that creepy, weird, shivers up the spine stuff, I'm getting it just looking at the picture of Mr. Teeth. Check it out, because this is going to be a pretty awesome book. Finally, as if that ain't enough, on page 374, and I say that without even knowing what it was I had marked, from Vault, The Last Book You'll Ever Read, writer Cullen Bunn, artist Leela Lees, civilization's a lie. Hidden deep in our genes is the truth, and it's slowly clawing its way to the surface. Olivia Cade knows the truth, and she's become the prophet of the coming collapse. Her book, Satire, is an international bestseller and is being blamed for acts of senseless violence and bloodshed all over the world. Olivia's own life is in danger from those who would have read her work. Determined to conduct a book tour, she hires security professional Connor Wilson to act as her bodyguard. She only has one requirement. He cannot read her work. A couple creepy covers. I'm not sure which one I'm going. Probably the one on 375 is the one that I'm going to go for. And like I said, I cannot guarantee I'm going to buy everything we've been talking about, because I know once I put it all in that system, I'm going to look at it and go, good gravy. I only ordered one omnibus and I can barely afford that. And I really want to get the Ultimate Spider-Man omnibus, because I don't have any Ultimate Spider-Man left. But that's it for me, baby.
You know who else has stuff that you should buy?
Uh-oh.
These guys, our sponsors.
Believe it or not, kids, this here podcast has sponsors. And that sponsor, since day one, is DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best, bar none, web host in the whole known universe. And if you need a website, head on over to DreamHost.com, put in code CRAZY, that's K-R-A-Y-Z, and get $20 off your first year. Now, if you would like to advertise here on any of the Solitaire Rose Network podcasts, you can. Just email me at SolitaireRoseNetwork@gmail.com, subject advertising. Also, head on over to eBay and look for user Crazy, K-R-A-Y-Z. That's Joe, Crazy Writer, who's always telling us about the eBay in every episode of Crazy Comics and Stories. If you would like to contact us, you can do so. You can give us a call at 952-856-0519. Leave a message and we'll play it on the show. Or you can send us an email at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. Thanks.
And if you're broke after buying all your comics and visiting our sponsors and signing up for their VPN system, you could do free stuff. I have all of these free podcasts right here.
The Solitaire Rose Radio Network is currently on a pause, basically because COVID-19 has made it so that I have to work a lot of extra hours at both jobs. But you can still go and listen to my other podcasts. Now, you're probably listening to Crazy Comics and Stories, which is the main podcast. But on this same feed, K-R-A-Y-Z-C-O-M-I-X, is Solitaire Rose Radio, the solo radio podcast that I do. I've done interviews, I've done short stories, I've done all sorts of things, and you can get to it right here on this same feed. I also do a podcast called Novelcast, where I take the novels I've written and turn them into free audiobooks. That's over at novels.solitairerose.com. Dangerous Dan Moore and I, and of course Wolfie B. Bad, give you bad advice over at badadvice.solitairerose.com. You send in your questions, and we give you the aforementioned bad advice. And then myself and Adam Vermillion from For the Love of Comics do the Fantastic Forecast at fantasticforecast.solitairerose.com, where we go through the issues of the Fantastic Four, four issues at a time, to give the plot and commentary on each issue. That's not all. Yes, I'm crazy. I still, over at PWInsiderElite.com, every week on Wednesday, do a recap of the latest episode of AEW Dynamite. I write up what happened, and then myself and Anthony Pyrus will do an audio. Now, you can only listen to the audio if you're a member at PWInsiderElite.com, and if you're a wrestling fan, you should be, where we then break down the episode, talk about what we liked, what we didn't like, give it a grade, and let you know if you should have watched that episode. Those are the other podcasts here at the Solitaire Rose Radio Network. Thanks.
Or if you do have money left, you could give it to Joe in Joe's favorite part of the show. Give Joe all of your money. Joe, what's going on the eBays?
You know, I'm going to talk about the eBays, and I've been having some pretty good sales. Nothing unique. That's one thing I love about the eBay portion is when I sell something with a unique title that we haven't talked about. Like, Corey, what's the big deal with Star Wars number 0?
I don't know.
It reprints some stuff that was never reprinted before. I believe UK strips or some other type things. And the only way to get that was from a Star Wars 0. And this was back when Dark Horse had it. Or Corey, let's make it easy for Corey. Corey, tell me about Xena.
Xena was a TV series in the 90s. There was Xena, the Warrior Woman, and Hercules. They were both put together by Sam Raimi. And the star of Xena is, I don't remember her name because I didn't watch the show, but Lucy Lawless, very cool with fans, very outgoing, goes to conventions, loves her fans, talks to them. And then there's Kevin Sorbo, who did Hercules, who's pretty much a jerk, berates people on Twitter, hasn't had a real job since Hercules, while Lucy Lawless is kind of always working. Wonder why that is.
Wrong.
But Xena was a big... big success in the 90s.
Isn't that cute? But you're wrong!
No,
I'm talking about the Xena from Brainstorm Comics, 1995, copyrighted by Kirk Lindo.
Never heard of it.
Best known for publishing vampire stories for mature readers like Vampirotica, Brainstorm's comic title Xena bears more resemblance to Judge Dredd. Xena, not related to anything in the TV series or subsequent comic book of the same name, follows the life of a superpower agent in the National Endowment Bureau in the year 2025, genetically engineered from birth to have all 10 of the known superhuman endowments. Good grief. Look at the way Chris Laria and Preston Costin drew her. Xena is the only costume crime fighter powerful enough to stop other endowed beings should they pursue a life of crime themselves.
Endowed.
I know. And you know why you probably haven't heard of this, Corey?
Because it came and went so fast that no one paid attention?
Well, people remember Vampirotica, but yeah, there was only one issue. So.
Yeah.
And who knows? Maybe they got shut down and said, I don't think so, because it was 1995. So nice try, Corey. Thank you for playing. No. You know where my stuff is, K-R-A-Y-Z, but I'm going to readdress things in when we get to our next segment. And again, these aren't things that are eBay's problem, but believe me, I am freaking on them.
And now we get to my favorite part of the show. Go ahead.
Come get some.
And now we get to my favorite part of the show. Not where I look at the clock and go, what the hell? We've been recording for 2 hours? No,
well, that's why I wanted to keep the eBay portion short. What I'm freaking on is eBay related. First of all, and we'll get into this when we get to the con section or the geeking section. But I went to the MCBF con and got a lot of cool stuff. I'm wading through it now. And of course, some of it are duplicates. Some of it are just things I specifically bought to resell. So I the first thing I got to do is I fire up my trusty scanner, put in the card, since I don't use the interwebs to communicate with the computer. I just put it all on a gigabyte SD card. And I'm scanning. And then Holly stopped and said, hey, I need this scanned as a, what do you call it, PDF file?
Yes.
And so I did that for her. And then I went back to scanning. And then I got distracted. As I was doing this, my wife and I were watching movies we've seen hundreds of times, like Caddyshack. And there were a couple other ones. But I would stop and, like, watch my favorite scenes and things like that. And then as I went, I thought, well, I don't remember if I scanned the book I have in the scanner. So I pulled out the card, stick in my computer. Wouldn't you know it, for the past 4 hours, I've been scanning things as PDFs. Not that that's a problem. However, I scanned them as black and white because that's what Holly had me scan, which is totally unusable for pictures on eBay. Farge. Anyways, I just had to go back and I spent most of the morning rescanning everything. So now what's weird is on the eBays themselves, they suddenly announced, guys, we're changing the way you look up comic books. Everything's according to comics and then comics and memorabilia. So if you're looking for graphic novels, you're looking for, what do we look up? Werewolf by Night number 33. If you're looking for Captain Britain, Birth of a Legend number 1, well, everything's not divided up into categories anymore. What it is, because most people look up things via search engine, you just put it up there and eBay puts it. You have to go and they have a list of about like 25 different categories to put in anything. So like if I take, say, this here, Captain Britain, Birth of a Legend, Volume 1 hardcover. Well, I put it in and the one thing I don't like is they have writer artist. And again, this is for everything. So yeah, you may have a book where you're just going to put the writer or the artist. But in this case, you know, it's Alan Moore and they don't even list the, is it Alan Davis? Maybe. But you don't have room to put both the writer and the artist. Then you put the character. Then you put the publisher. Is it a hardcover? And you put the title. Then you put the series. Then you put the issue number. Then you put the condition. The condition is weird. Brand new, like new, very good, acceptable. That's not how we rate comic books. We rate them in a different system. So again, unusable. After that, it gets in if it's signed. Is it certified? Who's it signed by? Is it hand-drawn? Is it personalized? It's kind of neat. I mean, I think it's neat the way they did it. The beef, I've got over 1,000-plus listings. They want me in 1 month to change so everything is in their search parameters. So nothing is the way I have it. I got to go back, and they're like, if you don't have it by July 4th, you won't be able to list anything new. Well, obviously, the new shit I've been putting on when I'm not effing up my scans, I'm putting on. But I'm telling you, and here's where you can help me. If you've ever seen anything on my Facebook page, I'm sorry, my eBay page that you're interested in, make me an offer on it because I really don't want to do it. I'd rather sell it to you now and take a loss than have to go through 1,000-plus listings because, again, I've got, well, you know, Dana gave me a bunch of stuff. I got a bunch of stuff from the con. I got all my other things. I got a whole box full of these are new things that I want to list. I don't want to spend time relisting all the old stuff because eBay just decided, oh, we're changing this. Oh, by the way, you got a month to change it back. Couple months, I guess. July 4th is a ways away. But it's just a pain in the living butt. So if you're interested, you know what to do. Get on the eBays. Send me a message. Say, hey, I'm hip to your plight. Make me an offer, or better yet, I will return and I'll give you an offer you can't refuse. So that, yeah, make my freaking into a geeking, folks, and come get some. Corey, what you freaking on?
There was some news announced today. We don't know how it will shake out, but AT&T, which basically went through and cut over 2,000 people from Warner Communication, yeah, they couldn't make any money with Warner Communications, so they merged it with Discovery, and will be spinning it off into its own company. So Discovery, which has their own streaming service, which I think Joe has, but their streaming service is losing millions of dollars every month. And the owner of Discovery, by the way, the head of Warner Communication stepped down today because of this merger. He will not be in charge. The head of Discovery is well known for cost cutting.
Now, the other question I have, and we'll probably get a podcast out of this because we just finished doing one last week on the effects of DC.
Oh, what DC? Hey, we're coming out of the everybody getting fired, and we're ready. We're fit. We're tanned. We're rested, and we're ready to fight. And then this drops on Monday morning.
So we'll obviously, once we have an idea what's going on, we will revisit that. But
one thing is, you know, basically the head of Discovery says that, well, I wanted to, for our streaming service, we wanted to have all these non-reality shows, but everything we wanted was already created by HBO. Which, you know, who knows if that's accurate or if it's...
And Disney has National Geographic and all their stuff.
So who knows what's going to happen. Joe, maybe your Discovery Plus subscription will turn into an HBO... what is the HBO thing? Whatever HBO they...
Max. Yeah, because I have both of them. So it'll be real interesting to see how they're gonna deal with that.
And they're talking about how HBO Max isn't hitting the targets. Well, it's because it's more expensive than other services that have a whole lot more content.
Which is really weird because Time Warner has a lot of stuff, but what they do is they're cagey with it. We're gonna put this out, and then I go to look at it. Oh, it's been taken down already.
Yeah,
that's not what I want, people. But. Whatever, there's enough to watch, but eventually, yeah, I'll just start cutting the streaming services. I would have stuck with WWE.
So many damn streaming services.
Yeah, maybe Vince and company saw the writing on the wall when they shut down WWE streaming and just, you know, merged it with Peacock.
You know why they did that? I could tell you why they did that. Because a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush. Basically, they were given a guaranteed deal that would be just a little more than they were making on the network. And they didn't have to do any of the work of maintaining a network, handling subscriptions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Streaming.
Yep. So Peacock wanted that content. They got the content. It's not all of the content yet. I doubt all of it will go up on Peacock because, you know, really, does Peacock give a damn about the AWA? Although it would be nice if they eventually just moved everything over. But now WWE, they just get money. They don't have to do any of the work other than what they're doing with creating new content and cleaning up stuff in the archives and digitizing it. But they don't have to worry about maintaining a network except for non-US. But their non-U.S. subscribers are less than a tenth of the U.S. subscribers. And also, with Peacock, they can put on shit pay-per-views like the one last night, WrestleMania Backlash, which when we got to the match where it was Miz and Morrison in a tag team match and to... hype Dave Bautista's new movie, Army of the Dead, they had zombies attack the ring. I said, you know, I've got The Simpsons and Family Guy on my DVR from tonight. I'll watch that, and maybe I'll watch the rest of this pay-per-view later because Raw is unwatchable, and I literally could not possibly give less of a shit about this show at this point. Raw... Joe, I have done what you did and what Scott Nutter did and what other people have done. I've taken Raw. I don't record it anymore. SmackDown is still a good show. NXT is still a good show. NXT UK is an even better show. MLW is on Vice. I'm absolutely loving that. And it was, wow, there's a lot of wrestling here, and I don't have time to watch it all. What's the show that I dread the most? And it's Raw. Raw is 3 hours long, and it feels like a month and a half when I watch it. It's slow. It's boring. And I can't even when Raw used to be bad, I could say at least the matches are good. But the matches are all now 4 or 5 minute long. So it's, intro, high spot, go to the finish. SmackDown, it's more sports-based, so the matches are longer. MLW, it's more old-school wrestling where it's story-based, more on feuds. AEW is more of the 100-mile-an-hour indie action. NXT is more WWE, not Attitude Era with the violence, but Attitude Era with the great characters and stories. Raw is just unwatchable. It's unwatchable. And I've been watching Raw since before it was Raw, when it was primetime wrestling with Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan. I watched even during the horrible New Generation. But because even then, the stories were terrible and the characters were stupid, but at least the matches were 10 to 15 minutes long. And you had Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and these guys who would put on good matches. I don't know if anybody on Raw can put on a good match because the matches, the women's match is 2 minutes long. Men's matches, 3 to 5 minutes long. That's not a match. Comic-wise, really only what's going on at DC is a freaking because they just went through a whole round of cost-cutting, and now the new head of the new company they'll be with is well-known as cutting costs. There's nothing left to cut at DC.
Except maybe shut her down.
They won't shut it down because it's... really, you have one story from DC in a DC comic that you can adapt to a movie or a TV series, and it pays for all of DC's publishing for the year. But it's at best they treat it with benign neglect the way Warner's did for years and years and years. Joe, what are you geeking on?
Well, we didn't really talk about our weather, but we're Minnesotans, we tend to do that. It's warm and nice. It's we're in our 80s at night. The windows have been open. It was a beautiful day. Walk
we're in
outside.
The 50s at night. We're not in the 80s at night. If it was the 80s at night, I'd be
doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. The thing is that we're at that time of year where every Minnesotan thinks, do I really feel comfortable taking the ice scraper out of my car? But I don't. I just leave mine in year round. Not so much because I'm not worried about taking off, but then next fall I'm like, where the hell are all the ice scrapers? I mentioned I went to the MCBF's con. I'm not really going to talk much about it because, ironically, in next
episode... Let's talk about it next week.
Yeah, which is a fill-in episode, which means, in reality, I've already talked about it, and I just don't want to repeat it. Because the other thing I'm geeking on is the reason we got a fill-in that we recorded yesterday that I'm referring to today to be dropped in 2 weeks... Or more appropriately, let's see, in 2 weeks, I guess. We're going up north again. So it'd be fun to go up there. I've got to kind of plan to figure out how I can hit the stores I know that have comic books. But I'll figure something out. So, and of course, hopefully by the time this podcast drops, I'll have all that fun stuff that I talked about, or at least a majority of it will be up on eBay, so you folks can you'll see some of the new stuff. When you go to my Facebook page, I'm sorry, eBay page, and you find the store page, which you can get through the links or for looking up crazy or however you find my stuff, just change it so you can go to the newest stuff listed and you'll see everything the way it listed chronologically. And you can see the new stuff. If you got your eye on an old stuff, just let me know. Obviously, I won't be shipping while I'm up north, but, I like to give friends of the show a deal on some good collectibles, but, if you write something to me, we'll give you a quick shout out. And, maybe I'll give you a key to the I don't know. Corey's there all the time. But if you bring pie, he'll let you leave it on the porch.
Yes.
So you got that going for you.
Which is nice.
Yeah. Corey, what you geeking on?
I talked about a little earlier. I read the first two issues of Heroes. What is it? Now I have to go back up to my notes. Heroes Reborn, which is what if basically it's a what if story, but it seems to be happening in the actual Marvel universe where Captain America stayed frozen, so the Avengers were never formed, and instead the Squadron Supreme is the main superheroes on Earth, and it's wonderful commentary on the difference between Marvel and DC. It's also a fantastic event in that most of the events for the past year have suffered from a kind of sameness where aliens are invading, these people are invading, the heroes all need to get together. No, this starts out with Blade remembers the Avengers, but no one else does. And he's trying to see why he remembers. But we see the world and the comic industry as if the Avengers never existed. One of the tie-ins is the last story of the Imperial Guard. And it's written as if this is Imperial Guard issue 120. And this is the last issue of the Imperial Guard. Instead, it's going to be replaced by the Starjammers. They really get in to Hyperion's head, which I really like that because it shows the difference between him and Superman. It shows the difference between the Marvel Universe and the DC Universe. And I don't know where it's going, but it's a different event. It feels very different. The tie-ins are interesting because they're done in a way like Peter Parker, the Incredible Shutterbug. Peter Parker never got bitten by the radioactive spider, but he's a photographer at the Daily Bugle who lucked into getting some footage of Hyperion, who's the Superman analog. So he's kind of Hyperion's best friend, the way Jimmy Olsen was. J. Jonah Jameson reacts very differently to Hyperion than he does Spider-Man. This was one of those events where I went, oh, yeah, it's the 25th anniversary of Heroes Reborn, snore, who cares? But it's Jason Aaron who is able to get good stories out of things where most of the time I would go, eh, meh. You talked about how the weather is nice. It's been getting up in the mid-70s, and Saturday I had to be in at work at 6 a.m., and I want to let everybody know that at 5 a.m. on a Saturday morning, no one is happy to be awake because I have to stop and get my soda for my caffeine, and I had to get a donut for my fat and sugar. And at the gas station I stopped at, no one working was happy about it. No one there was happy about it. And we all had this silent agreement of it's stupid that we're up this early, but we have to be. But I got home at around 2:30 and sat out on the deck with the comics that we bought, the comics that I bought at the warehouse sale. So I have Knights at the Dinner Table, Bundle of Trouble, 1, 2, and 12. So I read those. I've got Secret Origins number 50, which was a giant size issue that was the last issue of that series. One of the stories in here is by Grant Morrison, who does his version of The Flash of Two Worlds. There's a Denny O'Neill story with George Perez about the origin of Batman and Robin. The anthology books of Ghosts and House of Mystery and the Marvel Westerns I picked up. And Thongor, Creatures on the Loose, number 29. Thongor, who was basically, yet another of the Conan knockoffs. This was by Lynn Carter, kind of doing Conan stories, except they weren't Conan. It's Steve Gerber, who I did not know did this, doing a barbarian story. So, of course, it's a little more twisted than you would expect. Sadly, the Marvel value stamp was cut out. But I love these 70s Marvel books that are off the beaten track because it's really clear no one was watching. And Don McGregor and Steve Gerber have both talked to me about how they were kind of both assistant editors and writers. So what they would do, they would edit each other's books because they didn't want anybody else to kind of know what they were doing. Which is why their stuff is so memorable and so odd. But the DC anthology books are mostly, here's, you know, a standard DC writer sending stuff to the Philippines to be drawn by these this beautiful Filipino art. And the Marvel anthology books were either mostly reprints, but also every so often, oh, look, here's a Gene Colan story. Oh, look, here's a Jack Abel story. You know, here's Thongar, which is written by Steve Gerber and drawn by Vicente Algazar. I don't know if I've ever seen his art outside of a Warren book, but here he is at Marvel doing a Barbarian story. And there is something just so wonderful about sitting out on the deck. I have my Bluetooth speaker playing the Rockabilly show from Underground Garage on Sirius XM. When that would be over, I would fire up the Drew Carey show. Drew Carey does the Friday Night Freak Out, where he does 2 hours of music that he picks. And have myself a cold, frosty beverage. And then when I got all done, I came in and watched a horror movie. And that was my Saturday. Sunday was more getting stuff done, getting ready for work, mixing the podcast, recording a podcast. But man, Saturday, just sitting out on the deck, reading comics, drinking a cold, frosty beverage, and listening to rockabilly music. That's why I do all the work, so I can afford to do that. Believe it or not, kids, you've listened to us blather on about funny books for almost 2.5 hours.
Cool.
I didn't even get into how much I liked the first couple parts of War of the Bounty Hunters. I'll do that.
I didn't even get a chance to talk about that. If you're interested in the Baron von Raschke, The Claw documentary, it's available as this podcast hits for only another day. So head over to the MSP Film Society, look up Claw, and stream it. That's kind of mini freaking for me because I'm not sure I'll have a chance to watch it before it disappears offline, but we'll see what happens.
And as we say every week, the comic we like the least, we still like better than the comic that you like the most, Joe.
Hang on a second. I was so busy getting my streaming set up. Oh, yeah. Oh, well, let's see where to go. Oh, Corey.
Yes.
What do you get when you pick a pig's nose? Hamburgers. I know. It's not funny. Hit my music.
Done, bitches!